God's grace and his peace to you from our risen Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen. If you didn't think any better, based off of our gospel reading, you may think that the church just sort of skipped a few months here. Instead of beginning our new church year with the season of Advent, our preparation for the celebration of the Feast of the Nativity, the day we celebrate as Christmas, you may think, then why do we have our gospel reading that talks about Jesus' entry into Jerusalem right before his crucifixion? Some of you may be thinking, Pastor, did our readings get mixed up? And the answer is no. Even though we're at this first Sunday in Advent, some of us may not even have trimmed the Christmas trees or baked any cookies yet, we seem to have skipped right over the baby Jesus and the manger, the wise men, and gone directly to the streets of Jerusalem 33 years later to lay palm branches on the road and to watch Jesus ride by on his way to die. Did we miss something? And the answer is no. There is no mistake. The church this first Sunday in Advent directs her attention to the final chapter, the saga of our salvation. And that's the way it should be. The reason why is that the crib that we're so used to seeing during this Advent time, preparing for Christmas, and the cross go together. You cannot have one without the other. But we live in a society where they do have one without the other. Let me put it this way. You see all these decorations going up, people decorating the outside of the houses for the, quote, holiday times. You will see manger scenes. You will see wise men. You'll see the shepherds. You'll see the baby Jesus. You see all this going on. But then what happens right after Christmas? All the decorations go away. What's next? Our society still hasn't yet put together the cross, the crib with the cross. So we back up to Luke chapter 2. Where the angels are shouting, good news! Unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord. Notice what this little bundle of joy was supposed to do. It was to save. Jesus took on flesh and blood in order that he could die on the cross. Why else would God need to take on flesh and blood? God could do anything he wanted to do. He could create the heavens and the earth with just a simple word. But why would he have to be born in Bethlehem? Why would he have to take on flesh and blood? Plain and simple, he had to go to the cross. So as we begin this Advent season, it is very fitting that we put the two together so we don't lose sight of where we are going and what we are doing. Likewise, there is no salvation apart from God in the flesh. It was no heavenly principle or abstract love that died on the cross, but flesh and blood died. True man, true God, Jesus the Christ, died for our offenses and was raised again for our justification. A real man with flesh and blood, just like ours, but without sin. Jesus, born under the law, under the penalty of sin, took on a human body, born of woman, to redeem those of us who are also under the law, so that we might receive the adoptions of sons and daughters of God. Crib and cross, cross and crib, like bookends that go together, that tell the story of our salvation. Separate the two, and you lose it. You have to keep the two together. So as we begin this account of Advent, this time of preparation, a penitential period of time, just like Lent is a penitential period of time, and the reason why the church has this penitential period of time is like a common phrase that is said in the church, you can't have a feast without a fast. We talk about the Feast of Nativity, and the Feast of the Resurrection. Needless to say, there's got to be a period of fasting. That's what Advent is all about, a period of preparing us to celebrate the feast of the Nativity of our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. Jesus knew what he was doing and where he was going. This was part of God's plan of salvation even before the world was created. He told his disciples just before our gospel reading that he was going to go to Jerusalem, where he'd be delivered to the Gentiles and endure a shameful death. It was interesting. He knew what he was doing even a little bit before that, when he, in Jericho, he healed the blind and brought salvation to a sinner, to Zacchaeus. Now, we may know of Zacchaeus as that wee little person who had to climb up into a fig tree, but more importantly, wasn't his size, but that he was a sinner. Why was that baby born in Bethlehem? To die on the cross for us sinners. Needless to say, he staged a wonderful, dramatic entrance into Jerusalem. He directed his disciples to find the unridden colt. They were to untie it and bring it to Jesus. And if anyone asked him, "Why are you doing this?" he said, "Because the Lord needs it." To help fulfill the prophecy of Zechariah chapter 9, verse 9, "Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout aloud, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, your king is coming to you. Righteous and having salvation is he, humble and mounted on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey." Yes, Jesus fit the prophetic model of the promised Messiah. He was both the messianic king riding on a colt and God, our Lord. Yet, he entered not with a lot of fanfare and trumpets blowing, not with a host of angels, but yet he entered into Jerusalem under a cover of humility. Jesus did know what he was doing. Unfortunately, his disciples at this time didn't know what he was doing. They couldn't understand and grasp why he had to be mocked. In Luke chapter 18, verse 34, before our gospel reading, it says, "But they understood none of these things. This saying was hidden from them, and they did not grasp what he said," referring to his upcoming death. Instead, Jesus was not doing what was normally considered the right thing to do from man's point of view. Instead, Jesus was fulfilling what God the Father wanted to happen. Who would think of anyone having a child for the purpose of that child dying to save a bunch of sinners? This was obviously not humanity's point of view, but God's point of view. Typically, as children, we have these grand illusions of what our future life will be, of prosperity, of glory. No one thinks our future life would ever be, "Oh yeah, I'm going to suffer and die for other people." But Jesus knew he must suffer and die and be raised again. He knew that he was the sacrifice for sin. In his death, he freed the world from their bondage of sin. That was what he was bound for glory for. That was what he was trying to accomplish, to free us so that we could be with him in heaven above. Jesus was determined to die our death in order to give us peace. Yes, that baby Jesus was going to give us peace. Now, you may be thinking, how can a baby bring peace? Especially newborns, when they cry, they need a lot of maintenance. They don't follow the same sleep cycle that we may follow. Well, we have to remember and connect the manger with the cross. Yes, Jesus was determined to die in our death in order to give us peace, because that was the promise. That was the plan of action. Jesus was bound for glory. His disciples had the wrong idea about his kingdom. The disciples thought the kingdom was going to appear immediately, that we were going to kick out the Romans, that the disciples would probably replace the Jewish leaders, and the kingdom of glory would exist here on earth. That is society's thinking. If you ask society today, what's the most important thing? They focus around themselves for their own betterment, building their own kingdoms. However, Jesus was doing his Father's will. The disciples thought that Jesus was going to establish an earthly kingdom, but Jesus taught them that the final glory awaited his return. Not here and now, but later. You see, the road of glory must pass through the cross. And this is something as Christians we must realize. We understand it when we start connecting the cross to the crib. But now we see that this was Jesus' path. But this is more than just Jesus' path. This is also our path. You see, we have to remember that as Christians, as we follow Jesus, we also will be under many trials and tribulations. There'll be many times in our lives that we also will be tempted to give up the faith, tempted to go astray. But we have to remain firm to the path that Jesus set before us, from the crib to the cross. And so that is also our path. Jesus breaks the bonds of our sin and brings peace to earth and heaven. That's why he came down to join God to earth, because he himself was the Word who took on flesh and blood. And he brought peace to earth by the blood of his own cross. And he returned to heaven to join man back to God, to bring peace in heaven, as our gospel reading actually says. What were the disciples saying as they were giving glory to Jesus coming into heaven? They used the phrase, peace in heaven. Jesus also breaks the bonds of our sins and brings us peace here to earth and heaven through his word, as he now releases us sinners from our sins. So Jesus is the one who gives us peace. He's the one that makes this path possible. Without Jesus, there would be no way that we could follow the path to God. It'd be impossible because our sins separate us. So Jesus comes among us. He gives us peace. He gives us his Holy Spirit. He comes where his gospel is preached and his sacraments are administered. He comes to untie us from the burdens of our sins, as that donkey was untied as he entered into Jerusalem. Now, I just want to take a little bit of a side note here. Some of you may have heard that a few years ago, I kind of stirred up our Sunday school teachers a little bit as we were preparing for the Sunday school Christmas program. And someone brought up, well, where's the donkey? And I said, well, Mary was not riding a donkey. More than likely, she was walking. Very often, we like seeing those pictures of Mary sitting on a donkey, riding to Bethlehem. But you got to remember, a donkey was considered first-class accommodation. Mary and Joseph were very poor, more than likely, because Scripture doesn't say she was riding a donkey. She probably wasn't. But during this Advent time, there is a donkey. The problem is, Jesus is riding the donkey, as our gospel reading says, into Jerusalem, to join heaven and to earth, to die on the cross, to bring us peace, so that we could take and follow Jesus up to heaven. So we acclaim Jesus in the name of our Lord. He is the holy name. So as we get to this time of Advent, this preparation time for the feast and nativity, many of us will be putting up our decorations. But as we put up the decorations, do we still see the cross? Do we truly understand that after the Christmas decorations are put away again, that the cross is still the final goal? Our society begs the question because it doesn't understand the cross. And if you don't understand the cross, you really don't understand the crib. The real path, the real action is in the cross. So as we journey through our life, we enter this time of the year where eventually the Christmas tree will come up. Eventually there'll be a little bit more decorations to the church. The poinsettias will arrive. But one thing will never be missing. The cross of Jesus will still be here. Yes, it's opposite of the Christmas tree where the Christmas tree will be, but we never separate the two. We have to keep going with that path from the crib to the cross, and not just to the cross, to the resurrection, ascension, and the parousia, the second coming of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. This is the path of the Christian church, because this is the path that Jesus took. This is how he was bound for glory. And if we want our path to be bound for glory, it's not by anything we have done, but it is the path by which Christ has already done and already accomplished it. So this day, for those of us who are bound for glory, we follow the cross. We hear his word. We are strengthened by his own body and blood, even during this time of Advent, as the church prepares to celebrate the feast of the Nativity of our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. In his name, amen. Now the peace of God that surpasses all our understanding will continue to guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.